In 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 9, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Turn to Hebrews chapter number 12. We use our Bibles a lot this evening, so get them ready. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse 1. The Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I believe one reason why God had John write in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9, that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, is not that we needed saved again. It's not that we needed our soul cleansed from all the sins that would send us to hell again. It's that God knows we're in a body of flesh and that we're going to need to get our relationship fixed when we sin. And for us to know that he is faithful, he is just to forgive us and to cleanse us and help us push the reset button in our relationship every single time that we ask. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. And this is just talking about living a holy life. This is just talking about laying aside the weights and the sin which easily besets us. Just because we got saved and forgiven for all of our sins doesn't mean we're not ever going to sin again. It doesn't mean we're not going to struggle with sin. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have to keep that relationship right with the Lord and keep pushing sin aside and trying to focus on the Lord. It doesn't mean the fight against sin is over with in our lives. It's over with when it comes to judgment. The Lord paid it all, paid in full by the blood of Jesus Christ. The judgment, eternal death and hell, that's over. That's forgiven. But we're still in the body of flesh. We're still warring against the flesh. We're still going to fight. We're still going to fall. And we're still going to fail. And Jesus wants you to know that when you do, he's faithful. He's just to forgive you when you come to him and said, Lord, I messed up again. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse number 1, we'll begin there. Paul the apostle here, he says, now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. And I love the fact that he reminds us how meek and gentle God is, because God doesn't bang you over the head because you did wrong. You know, every single time you do wrong, God doesn't break a bone in your body. We would be really broken people if he did. But he's meek and he's gentle. And look, he puts up with you. And he puts up with me because he loves you. Okay, that's a God thing, because humankind, we don't want to put up with each other, do we? Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Look, we have to fight every single day to keep our thoughts right. There is a battle of the mind every single day. You have to battle every single day to keep your thoughts right, to keep your thoughts pure, to keep your thoughts holy. And the Bible says that through the power of God, we can cast down imaginations, wicked imaginations. We can cast down strongholds in our life that sin has a hold upon you, that you will let, you allow to take hold upon you. Because when you got saved, sin no longer had hold upon you. Sin no longer had dominion over you. So if there's sin reigning in your life today, it's because you haven't cast it down. But we can cast it down, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. And we can cast down all of those things. But let me just say, there's a battle that the Christian faces in life. Just because you get saved doesn't mean that you are arrived. God wouldn't have to tell you to be holy because he's holy if you didn't have to fight the flesh anymore. But God wants you to fight the flesh. God wants you to live in the spirit. God wants you to live right. God wants you to talk right. God wants you to think right. God wants you to act right. God wants you to be right with him. And 1 Peter chapter 1, turn back to 1 Peter. There at the end of the scriptures, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 13. Peter, writing to Christians, says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Now guess what? Our flesh, the flesh is never going to be holy. But our spirit and our soul can be. Amen. You're going to have to fight that flesh. That flesh, that old man, praise God, dies one day and you get a new body and you don't have to fight the flesh anymore. But you can tell your flesh what to do. Or you can allow your flesh to tell you what to do. And you can say, "Flesh, you're not going to have control and you are going to do what I want you to do." And the flesh is going to battle that. It's like when you clean up a pig, the pig still tries to go to the pigsty. Can you clean up a pig? Yeah, but if you keep them clean, what do you got to do? Keep them out of the pigsty. Okay, that's an active thing. I enjoy going to 4-H and seeing the cows and the horses and the pigs that everybody raises. And it's neat how they get these pigs so clean, almost like they have a rash from being scrubbed down. You know, they don't like being clean. But you can keep that pig clean if you'll keep him out of the mud and put a fence around him and put him in straw and clean up after him. You can keep a pig clean. But if you just let a pig wander around, do whatever a pig wants to do, it's going to be a brown pig eventually. It's going to go back into that, into the mud, into the mire. And look, we in our flesh will go right back into the sin of the world and the sin of the flesh if we allow our flesh to tell us what we're going to do. You've got to say no. You've got to take control of the flesh through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit. Look, listen to this. Christ wants a clean bride. Amen. He wants a clean bride. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." You know, the word of God is what keeps us clean and sanctifies us, keeps us purified. "That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." Do you think Jesus Christ deserves a clean bride? And who's the bride? The church. That's us. You know, I think a man would be disappointed if the bride came on the wedding day after not having taken care of her hair for about a month. Exclamation point. Or after maybe not seeing a bar of soap for 2 weeks. That wouldn't be very, very nice to, "Here comes the bride. Everyone go and hide." God wants Christ wants a clean bride. And you're the bride. So if he wants a clean bride and he expects a clean bride, then we need to clean ourselves up with the Word of God and keep ourselves clean with the Word of God. And the moment you take the Word of God away, which I could compare to that fence to keep you out of the pigsty, you go right back into the pigsty. We've got to keep in the Word of God. Let me say this. Christ also wants his children to be clean, just like regular parents do. I recently read a news article about a famous couple who said that neither of them clean themselves on a regular basis, and they don't clean their children until they see dirt. This is a famous couple. It's, you know, big to-do in Nottingham about it, and everybody's, you know, what in the world's going on? Called Child Protective Services, all this kind of thing, whatever. But parents generally like their children to be clean, okay? The spiritual cleanliness Christ desires for his children is not when he sees dirt, he'll finally clean you up. He wants to clean you continuously so he doesn't have to see dirt. Amen. Christ is clean. He wants us to live clean and act clean as well. Be holy, for I am holy. It is ironic how we try to pull the same tricks with the Lord that we don't let our own children get away with us. What do I mean? You told your child not to eat the chocolate chip cookies. And when you came back, they had chocolate all over their face and their fingers. And you asked them, have you been eating cookies? And with a straight face, they look back at you and say, nope. Now, as parents, we know the child has been in the chocolate chip cookies. Why? Because we can see the evidence. Or you tell your children to play outside, but stay away from the mud puddle. And when you come out to check on them, they aren't near the mud puddle, but there are footprints leading from the mud puddle over to where they are. And their hands and their face is all covered in mud. It really doesn't matter whether you ask them if they've been in the mud puddle or not. You can see the evidence. Is that right? Now, it's always funny when, I'm not really sure why they made diapers white. But it does make it easier to see if there is a problem or not. It does make it easier to know when your child may need to be cleaned up. And it's always funny when a child doesn't want to get cleaned up and you ask them as a parent if they need some help there. And no matter what they say, you can smell the evidence that they need to be cleaned. No parent in their right mind, when their child comes to them and asks to be cleaned up from the mess they got into or the mess that they made, is content to let their child spread the dirt or mess around the clean house. They'll say, okay, let's get cleaned up. Parents are pretty quick to clean up their child, aren't they? They like having a clean house and they like having a clean child. In Jamaica, they like the kids to have clean teeth because dentists are expensive. We went over on a mission trip and I had some candy and I gave it to a couple kids and they started eating it and their mom yelled at them from half a block away. They came up there. She had them spit it out. She got out some toothpaste and a toothbrush and she's there scrubbing their teeth and scowling at me. I'm like, sorry. The missionary said, dentists are expensive, so they don't let their children have candy. They like clean teeth. We want our kids to be clean. No parent in their right mind, when their child points out that they need a diaper change, responds with, no, I told you the last time I cleaned you up that was the last time. I'm never going to clean you up again. Now, the child is two. How is that going to work out? It's going to be a messy house pretty soon, isn't it? No. Child is two that says, mommy, I need cleaned. What does mommy do? Mommy cleans. Now, might mommy be frustrated? Perhaps, but mommy's still going to clean. Might daddy be frustrated and get out his biohazard suit? Yes, but daddy is still going to get out the biohazard suit and he's going to clean. I don't know how you ladies do it. My hat's off to you. You just lungs of steel. Praise the Lord for you. I had a hard time. Anyway, parents may be frustrated that they have to clean their child again, but let me say they still do it because they want a clean child. You know, I've never read anywhere in the Word of God where God is frustrated with his children coming to him and asking him to clean them up again. I've never read where he's frustrated. Oh, you got dirty again. I told you last time that was the last time I was going to clean you. Does God say that? No. And I'm thankful that we have a loving Father, the perfect Heavenly Father, that'll clean us up every single time we get dirty. And folks, that's a lot.
Amen.
1 John 2:1 says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." You know what? God wants you to be holy like he is holy. But he's not expecting you to never sin after salvation because we're not in our perfect bodies. He desires you to walk holy and to walk in the word of God so that you don't sin. But if you do, he's willing and ready to forgive and cleanse and get that relationship right. Satan lies to us to tell us that, well, this was sin number 7 times 70, so God's not going to forgive you now. This is sin 70 times 70 plus one, so his grace only lasts so long. His mercy is only so sufficient. No, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, I've never read anywhere in the Bible where God gets frustrated at his saved children coming to him for cleaning. He wants us to come initially to be cleansed from all of our sins and washed in the blood of the Lamb, Isaiah 1:18. "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." He wants to wash us in the blood of Jesus Christ, wash us in the Lamb, and we're cleansed from all of our sin. But he also wants us to have a good relationship with him. And again, my children are my children. They're my flesh. They're my blood. Even if I were to say they're no longer mine, they're still mine. I can't deny my own. And, I like to take my children to get Frosties. One reason is because I get to get a Frosty. You ever went through the drive-thru and your dad got a Frosty and no one else got a Frosty? That's very sad. Now, there's been times me and my wife went and got Frosties because the kids were bad. And so they didn't get a Frosty. And we're just trying to remind them that blessings aren't deserved, they're earned. Amen? But they're still my kids in the back seat. And, you know, just because you have sinned and made a mistake doesn't mean you're no longer God's child. But the blessings of God and the favor of God on your life depend upon whether you're walking with him or not. And I want to be blessed by God. Praise the Lord that no more sacrifice is needed to cleanse our soul from sin, nor to save us from the judgment of hell. When we're saved, we're adopted in the family of God. He gives us eternal life. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Our soul is washed in the blood of the Lamb. Our spirit is born again and is pure. He gives us a clean, sinless spirit. Yet we still have to struggle, fight in war against the body of flesh that carries our soul and our spirit around. Paul the Apostle said it this way. Look at Romans chapter 7. If there was someone who I would consider having it all together spiritually, it'd be Paul. Look what he says in Romans chapter 7, verse 14. He says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not." He says, what I'm doing, I'm not making allowance for. I don't want to do. "For what I would, that do I not." What I want to do is not what I am to doing. "But what I hate, that do I." And what is it that he hates? Sin. Verse 16, he says, "If then I do that which I would not," if I'm going to do that which I'm not making allowance for, "I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me." I want to do it in the spirit, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. "For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, after the spirit. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And Paul's saying, he's saying that we're our mind of God, our spirit, is trapped in a body of flesh, a body of sin that wants to sin. No one had to teach you how to lie. No one had to teach your flesh how to try to steal the candy bar at Walmart without paying for it. No one had to teach your flesh how to talk back to your mom and to your dad. That's in your flesh. That sinful nature is in you, and you have to fight against that with the Spirit and with the Word of God, because you can't succeed as a Christian if you have one foot in the world and one foot in church. And with one foot, one part of your life, you're going to live life the way that you want to live it. You're going to watch what you want to watch. You're going to listen to what you want to listen to. You're going to go where you want to go. And with the other foot, you're going to try and serve God. The Bible says in James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, because you got the foot on the rock on one side and a foot on the world on the other side, and you don't know whether you're coming or going. You're unstable in all your ways when you're double-minded. You got to get all in. Let me just say, whatever you're going to go, get all in. And Lord willing, the choice is you're going to get all in for God. You know, if you got saved, that's great. If you got saved and you got blood bought and your soul is cleansed, you don't got to go to hell, that's fantastic. But shame on us if we don't have a clean body and have a clean church when Jesus Christ comes back, because he's not going to be very happy with us. You know, I don't think a husband would be very happy if a wife cleaned herself up for the wedding day, but after that she just let herself go. No makeup, no soap, no changing of clothes, no brushing of teeth. Get the picture? We can't just allow sin to reign in our members. Look at James chapter number 4, Hebrews James. Verse number 4, James 4:4, says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses." Now, an adulterer is someone who is married. It's a man who's married that it goes and is with someone else other than his wife. An adulteress is someone who's married that goes to be with someone other than her husband. So in James calling these Christians adulterers and adulteresses, what he's saying is you're married to Christ. You're the bride. You're married to Christ. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now it's sad that as a Christian, as a child of God, we could place ourselves in a position to be his enemy and fight against him and fight against the gospel. You see, how can a Christian fight against God? By fighting against the gospel. By being a soul loser instead of a soul winner. By pushing people away from God with your actions rather than bringing people to God with your actions. I mean, if you're pushing people away from the gospel, that's not the friend of God. You've become an enemy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't want to put ourselves in that position, folks. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Look, if you're going to cozy up to sin and just get involved with sin, then you are putting yourself on the wrong side of the gospel. and you are being unfaithful to your groom and the one who bought you, Jesus Christ. Verse 5, it says, do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But praise God for verse number 6. But he giveth what? More grace. I'm glad he does. I need more grace. Sadly, I can put myself in verse number 4 in my Christian life. There have been times in my life when I have backslid and gotten into the world and into sin and wanted to be there more than read my Bible or pray or be in church. I dare say every single one of us will find ourselves in that position if we don't take cleansing ourselves with the Word of God as a serious daily thing. Do you want to know how you find yourself in the position of James 4:4? Don't read your Bible. Don't pray. Don't come to church. And you'll be in James 4:4. Will be applied to you. No action puts you in that position. Not applying the soap of the Word of God. This is what cleanses us. By the washing of the Word of God. This is like spiritual soap. So if you're not bathing in the Word of God, if you're not washing in the Word of God, if you're not reading it, you're not listening to it, you're not paying attention during the preaching of the Word of God, you're just coming to check a card. You become an enemy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yep. We don't want to be there, folks. And I'm glad that if, God forbid, we ever find ourselves there, there's a verse 6. Where he giveth more grace to you, and he allows you to get right. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. This is talking about Christians. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye what? Double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Do you know how you get back up after falling down in sin? By getting on your knees, confessing it, say, I'm sorry, God. Please help me. I'm laying aside this weight, the sin which easily besets us, and let God pick you back up. And he will. Every single time, praise him. He giveth more grace. And if and when you fall the next time, he giveth more grace. And if and when you fall the next time, he giveth more grace. And if and when you fall the next time, he giveth more grace. And if and when you fall the next time, he giveth more grace. And if and when you fall the next time, he doesn't say, no, the last time you fell was the last time I was going to clean you up. No, he gives more grace. And more grace. And he is the perfect Heavenly Father who every single time you end up in the mud puddle, every single time you ate what you weren't supposed to eat, every single time you made a mess in your life and you come and say, Father, I made a mess. I did wrong. I messed up. Please restore to me the joy of your salvation. Create in me a clean heart. He does. And he doesn't get frustrated about it. And that boggles my mind. Because if I was God, I would be frustrated with me. I think every single one of you would say the same thing. I'm glad I'm not God. I'm glad he is. Don't try to hide your sin from your Heavenly Father. He can still see it. Don't try to pull on God what you won't let your kids get away with you. He wants to clean you up and for you to have the right focus and not to be double-minded. One foot in the church and the other foot in the world. One foot in the Word of God and the other church in the world. one foot going down the path of righteousness and one foot going down the path of sin and death. Start going down the right path. He's lighting the path ahead of you so you can, every step, trust and faith in him. And he's lighting the right path for you. And if you find yourself in darkness tonight, you found yourself lost tonight because you got off the path, confess it, get it right, and he'll put you back on the right path. Every time. That's the kind of God we serve. And I'm glad that we do. Because we're all still fighting a body of flesh and sin that doesn't want you in church, that doesn't want you to read the Bible, that doesn't want to submit to authority, that doesn't want to do right, that doesn't, you know, that's the flesh. Submit to God. Draw nigh to God. And he might draw nigh to you. He'll think about drawing nigh to you. He will. What'll it be? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, our adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He desires to have us that he might sift us as wheat. I'm thankful, Lord, that we have you as our Heavenly Father, that you give more grace, that your mercy endureth forever. I'm thankful that we have a perfect Heavenly Father that always forgives us and is always ready with open arms, wanting us to return and get right. Help us, Lord, to be holy because you're holy, to honor you, to glorify you, so that you might have a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, a clean church. Help us to clean our lives, clean our minds, clean our homes, be used by you, and to enjoy the world you've given to us with you walking, holding our hand beside us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.